please. We are in the book of Proverbs tonight, the book of Proverbs. Sarah Burris, thank you for the pictures. And those of you that are on Facebook saw that I posted some pictures today of all the Sunday school classes and junior church, and those were all pictures that Sarah has taken over the last couple of weeks. There are many, many more. I just picked out the ones that were about Sunday school, and we'll use some other ones in our on Facebook here in the near future. But I appreciate all those pictures that were there, and we'll use them not only for that, but for our publications and literature for the church and so forth. So it's good to have that variety and all those things available. All right, the book of Proverbs, the 20th book of the Old Testament, number 20. Recite it with me if you can. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, 1 Kings, 2 Kings, 1 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles, Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, Job, Psalms, Proverbs. Hey, we're halfway. 20 out of 39. We're crossing the halfway point of the books of the Old Testament. Of course, reciting them gets real good till you get to Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Micah, John. Okay, it gets real rough up in there, but till we get there, we'll do all right. The book of Proverbs. This is interesting as I'm studying this week, because we're also teaching through the book of Proverbs in Sunday school on Sunday mornings. This week we'll be in Proverbs chapter 11, and I started working on that a little bit today. So our lesson tonight is also on the book of Proverbs. The book called The Proverbs, and that ought to be the title as you look in your Bible. The title of it is simply that, The Proverbs. And verse number 1 tells us, The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. So there's no question as to who wrote the Proverbs. At least you wouldn't think there's a question. But when it comes to the scholars, they've got a question or doubt just about anything. But we'll talk about that later. The book of Proverbs is a compilation. One writer said that there are 513 Proverbs in the book of Proverbs. Now, I didn't put that in my notes because I couldn't verify that. I started counting the number of verses in Proverbs and passed 500 about chapter 14 or 15. So that didn't work out. So I'm not sure where he came up the number, but it is a compilation. It's not all of Solomon's Proverbs, because look at 1 Kings chapter 4. Back up, because we just talked about the books of the Bible, so you know exactly where 1 Kings is. And in 1 Kings chapter 4, the Bible tells us, try and guess if you don't know already, how many Proverbs Solomon wrote. It tells us in 1 Kings chapter 4 and verse number 32. And he spake 3,000 Proverbs. There's your blank right there. Solomon spoke 3,000 Proverbs, and his songs were 1,005. Solomon was quite the writer of both Proverbs and songs. And he wrote 3,000 of them. Not all of them, of course, are in the book of Proverbs. So in the book of Proverbs, we've got a select compilation of Proverbs. That's not to say that all of his Proverbs weren't good, but we've got the highlights. We've got the best of the best in the book of Proverbs. That's why the book of Proverbs is so valuable to read on a daily basis. It's been said many times that there are 31 chapters in Proverbs. That's not by coincidence. That's one proverb for each day of the month. And if you get to February, cram in four of them at the last day of the month if you can do that. But 31 of them per month. We need the book of Proverbs, folks, in the day in which we live. And our study in Sunday school is showing us that we need the book of Proverbs because we need the wisdom that it gives. The book of Proverbs is a compilation of some of Solomon's 3,000 proverbs. Many of the proverbs are original with Solomon. And some are those he learned from others and passed along. All right, he wrote 3,000 himself, but some of the Proverbs we read in Proverbs were he got secondhand and gave to us. He received them and passed them on to us. We get that if you're there at chapter 1, if you'll notice in verse number 6. The Bible says, to understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise, The words of the wise, Solomon there is referring to those things he's read, Proverbs he's read, Proverbs he's heard from his mother. We'll talk about chapter 31 later. Proverbs he's heard from his mother, from his father, from others, or from the wise men. You know, back in those courts in those days, they surrounded themselves with wise men, as Nebuchadnezzar did with Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, as Pharaoh did with Joseph after he interpreted his dreams. They surrounded themselves with wise men. And Solomon also picked up some very wise, whenever you're studying Proverbs, they'll use the word pithy. P-I-T-H-Y. Since we don't use that very often, I didn't pick up that word. But they call it very pithy statements. That's what Proverbs are. Very, very short, succinct statements about different things. And the wise men did that. That phrase, the words of the wise, is repeated also in Proverbs 22 and verse number 17, where there it says, yes, it does, bow down thine ear and hear the words of the wise. All right, the belief is that Solomon's not referring to his own words, but the words he has heard from others that he is also passing on to folks here. Proverbs chapters 1 to 24 are all written down by Solomon himself. Again, chapter 1, verse 1, the Proverbs of Solomon. Chapter 10 and verse 1, the Proverbs of Solomon. So there's no questioning who wrote Proverbs 1 to 9, who wrote Proverbs 10 to 24. But look at chapter 25 and the first verse. All right, the first 24 chapters, Solomon wrote them. He wrote them down, whether he originated them or whether some of those are they that he heard. He wrote them all down. But in chapter 25 and verse 1, it says, these are also Proverbs of Solomon, which the men of Hezekiah, king of Judah, copied out. From chapter 25 to chapter 29, we have some Proverbs that Solomon spoke, Solomon recited, but that he did not write down himself, that the men of Hezekiah, that later king of Israel, he had his men write down these things that they remembered Solomon saying, and of course by divine inspiration, they recorded them in chapters 25, 26, 27, 28, and 29. So all 29 chapters are the Proverbs of Solomon. The first 24 chapters, those he penned down, whether he originated them or heard them and wrote them down. And then 25 to 29 are the ones the men of Hezekiah remembered him. We remember some wise sayings of people like Mark Twain or Benjamin Franklin, a penny saved is a penny earned. Those are old proverbs. And so the men of Hezekiah wrote down some of the ones of Solomon. They said, hey, if we're putting Solomon's Proverbs together in a book, we need to get these other ones that he didn't write down that we remember, 25 to 29. Now, Proverbs chapter 30. Proverbs 30 says, the words of Agar, the son of Jacob, even the prophecy, the men spake unto Ithiel, even unto Ithiel and Uchal. The words of Agar. The name Agar means gatherer. That's our blank in the outline tonight. It means gatherer. And there are many that believe that this name Agar is simply a pen name. You've heard of that. Some people write under an assumed name or a different name. A pen name for Solomon himself. Because he was a gatherer. He got together his own proverbs, those that he had heard from others, and put them together. And so in chapter 30, he does it under an assumed name, under the name of Agar. Now, some of them believe that this guy Agar is a whole separate guy that just happened to write chapter 30. That's neither here nor there. But I believe that these are the Proverbs of Solomon all the way through it. Chapter 31. The words of King Lemuel. The prophecy that his mother taught him. Chapter 31 of the Proverbs of some guy named King Lemuel. Well, that kind of boils it down. He's got to be a king. And again, most believe that this is an assumed name for Solomon, using another name. Many of the people did. There's names in the Old Testament where the guy's names are completely different in Chronicles than they are in Kings. It's the same guy, different name. All right, so Lemuel could be the same. Verse number 4, it is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink. So the assumption is, and unless there's conclusive proof otherwise, that Agar and Lemuel are the same as Solomon, so that all 31 of these Proverbs are the Proverbs of Solomon. In Proverbs, Solomon is writing to his own son. That's why the phrase, my son, appears 23 times in the book of Proverbs. Solomon is writing to his son. My son, my son, my son. Maybe Rehoboam. That's the most prominent son of Solomon that we know about. Maybe one of his many other sons that he had. But he put all these Proverbs together collectively in a book to pass on to his son. Now, if it was for Rehoboam, sad to say, they missed their mark because Rehoboam did not follow them. But thankfully, we have them recorded in the book of Proverbs, all 31 chapters, so that we can glean from them and learn from them. Chapters 1 to 31 follow his son from youth to adolescence to young adult to manhood. As you're reading the book of Proverbs, read it with this thought in mind. You are watching Solomon's son mature. You're watching him grow up. He begins talking about wisdom, begins talking about one of my favorite verses, such a needful verse in chapter 1, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Watch who you hang around with, son. Don't get around bad company. He starts from that very point and moves on through wine, women, wealth, work, all that kind of, finding a wife, all that kind of stuff through the book of Proverbs. We're watching his son grow up. There are three books written by Solomon. Those are Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and Song of Solomon. Most believe that Song of Solomon was the first of the three written. And it was written when Solomon was young and in love. We'll get to the book of Song of Solomon later, but what a story it is. You know Solomon's tragic story. He had 1,000 wives and all those other concubines. And I believe when you put these books together and understand that woman of Song of Solomon was his first and initial love. And he missed out on that, didn't get that, and he regretted it the rest of his life and spent a lot of time trying to make up for that one that never was. Married 1,000 wives, looking for that one that he passed up at the Song of Solomon, written when he was young and when he was in love. Then the book of Proverbs were written when he was middle-aged, and he was at the apex or the climax, the fullness of his wisdom and his knowledge. And that's when he wrote the book of Proverbs. But then there's Ecclesiastes. Have you read Ecclesiastes? We'll get to that next week. Isn't that a troublesome book? It's written by the wisest man that ever lived, but boy, is he forlorn. Is he ever disillusioned and depressed when he's reading that? Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. That's written by the same man that's writing these wonderful Proverbs. That was written later in life when he was disillusioned by the carnality of life, no matter. And you know, the problem is, the closer you get to God, the more carnal the world seems, the more carnal you seem yourself. And so Solomon, in all of his wisdom, got to that point where he just got discouraged. And so we see even, as he's writing to his son in Proverbs, we watch the son growing up, we see Solomon growing up through the books of Proverbs and Ecclesiastes and Song of Solomon. The word proverb means a simple statement that highlights the realities of life. All right, a simple statement. Most of the Proverbs are two parts. There's the beginning statement, then there's the verse 2. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding. To receive the instruction of wisdom and justice and judgment and equity. All of them have a sense of poetry to them, a two-part statement. Especially when you get to chapters 10 to 14 and 15. We'll get to that in our outline later. They're all two-part statements of contrast. But the book of Proverbs are just short little statements that make so much sense. The bold print there, it says, it is a short sentence based on long experience. Those Proverbs by Benjamin Franklin. Proverbs of this old, you know what those men are? They were old men when they gave those Proverbs. You don't get Proverbs from 20-year-olds. Not enough life experience. That's not a criticism of 20-year-olds, but you don't have life experience at that point. You get the Proverbs from the older folks that have lived for quite a while, seen a few things, and are able to put that into very short statements. And that's what it is, a short sentence based on long experience. The Proverbs are an instruction book on how to live life. Not how to make a living, but how to live life. Notice the things that Proverbs talks about. It gives instruction on wisdom and folly. That's the first 9 chapters especially we've been studying on Sunday morning. It also talks about the righteous and the wicked. We'll talk about how many times those two phrases appear in the book of Proverbs. It talks about pride and humility, about justice and vengeance. This could be on tonight's TV programs. All these different things. This is reality. This is life. It talks about laziness and work. Poverty and wealth. Friends and neighbors. I thought that was interesting as I wrote this down. All these things are usually opposites. Righteous and wicked. Wisdom and folly. Pride and humility. Friends and neighbors. Are those necessarily always opposites too? I hope not. But it talks about friends and neighbors. Love and lust. That strange woman that Solomon warned his son about. Anger and strife. Masters and servants. Life and death. All of these things are covered in the book of Proverbs. What a valuable, valuable book. There's no theology in Proverbs. There's really no prophecy in Proverbs. Prophecy, the book of Proverbs is all just down-to-earth reality of life. Though Proverbs contains no contradictions. All right, can you say that's an amazing thing to have 513, if that's how many there are? I kind of suspect there's a lot more than 513. But there's not the whole 3. But to have that many collected and not have them contradict each other? Even some of our famous ones. How about this? Look before you leap. Now, that's very wise, isn't it? That makes sense. But how about he who hesitates is lost? So which do you do? Do you look before you leap? Or do you hurry up and leap? Because he who hesitates is lost. When that thing becomes available, whatever that is on eBay or Amazon or something, it's available. Do you hurry up and get it before it's gone? Or do you wait and wait a minute and not leap at it to see if it's really what it's cracked out to be and the right thing? All right? There are no contradiction of Proverbs in all the Proverbs that are recorded in chapter 1 to 31. That is an amazing thing. I wrote down another one. A man gets no more than he pays for. That's an old proverb. A man gets no more than he pays for. But one of our female politicians would tell us the best things in life are free. Everything's free, all right? So which is it? You get no more than you pay for, or everything in life is free? All right, there's a contradiction. There are no contradictions in the 31 chapters of the book of Proverbs. Whether you realize it or not, that is an amazing thing. Because the skeptics and the doubters and all that, if they could find them, you know they'd find them. Well, Proverbs, this verse disagrees with that verse and this one, that, and they can't find any of them. They're consistent in everything that they teach us. There are key words and phrases in Proverbs. We've really got more of them tonight than we do in most of those books that we study. Oh, I missed one, didn't I? No, Proverbs, thank you. I saw Nani lean back to Donna and say, I didn't get that one. Though Proverbs contains no contradictions, they are principles. This is important. I'm glad I noticed that. They are principles, not promises. These Proverbs are principles, not promises. You say, why is that so important? Well, let's look at a couple of them. Chapter 15 and verse 1. Is this a principle or a promise? A soft answer turneth away wrath. I like that verse. I remind myself of that verse often. A soft answer turneth. When someone gets mad and blows up, the best thing you can do is return with a soft answer. That's a good principle. But that's not a promise. Because sometimes you get a soft answer and it doesn't turn away their wrath. Sometimes you find out you've got to yell and scream as loud as they are to get there. In our modern society today, sometimes people don't understand if it's not at high volume, and that's not a good thing. But I use that to illustrate simply this. That is a principle, and a wonderful principle, and a true principle. But there are exceptions, because there are people that a soft answer doesn't get through to. So these are principles, not promises. Chapter 17 and verse 17. A friend loveth at all times, but a brother is born for adversity. That's a principle, but that's not always true. And how about the last one? You don't even need to turn to it. 22:6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it. I've counseled a lot of parents that have been heartbroken thinking that they failed because that verse gave them a promise that if they raised their kids right, that kid would turn out right. Well, number one, if the kid's still alive, don't give up hope. When they're old, they'll not depart from it. Number two, even if they died without faith, it doesn't mean you did something wrong. That's not a promise. That's a principle. It's most of the time true, but not always etched in stone. Proverbs are sayings. They have exceptions due to the uncertainty of life and the unpredictable behavior of fallen men. All right, if something's true 90% of the time, it's a principle. If it's not true 100% of the time, then it's not a guarantee. And that's what the Proverbs are. Don't lessen them in their value because they are a 90, 95, or 99% principle. Key words or phrases in Proverbs. Didn't I say that once already? Let's get back to that again. All right, there's more in Proverbs than in most books, and that's because the theme of Proverbs is so evident. The phrase, the fear of the Lord, appears 14 times in the book of Proverbs. Chapter 1, verse 7 is believed to be by most the key verse of Proverbs. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. The fear of the Lord, that is a very important thing. We talked about that just past Sunday with Job, who is just and upright, one that feared God and eschewed evil. So the phrase, the fear of the Lord, appears 14 times. The word knowledge is there again in verse number 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Knowledge is greatly emphasized in the book of Proverbs, and it appears 42 times, that one word in the 31 chapters. 42 times. The emphasis of the book of Proverbs is not only the fear of the Lord, but knowledge and understanding. Understanding. That appears 54 times. These key words give us a glimpse of what the book of Proverbs is all about. The word wise, doesn't surprise you, appears 66 times. Most of the time, the wise, the wise, the wise. And then also the other form of the word wisdom appears another 54 times. So well over 120 times these two words, wise and wisdom. The word understanding, the word knowledge, the word fear of the Lord. The righteous, the phrase the righteous appears 47 times. The righteous. But then the phrase, now we go on to the other side of the coin. We go from knowledge and understanding and wise and righteous to the phrase the wicked. And that appears 73 times in the book of Proverbs. The wicked. Referring to sinners. Referring to the ungodly. Referring to those that don't take heed to the counsel of God. The wicked. Sometimes in our modern slang, the word wicked has come out to be something good. Something awesome. Something to be appreciated. But the wicked, according to the Bible, are just all those that whose minds are contrary to God. The word fool or fools appears 56 times. Those are the wicked. The foolish, I think that's there another 13 or 14 times. And then lastly in our key words, the word evil appears 50 times. 50 times. So you see that the book of Proverbs is a book of contrasts between the wise, the righteous, the understanding, the knowledgeable, and the wicked, the fools, and evil. That's what the book of Proverbs is all about. Wisdom versus folly. Wise and fools. All right, an overview of the book of Proverbs. Looking at all the chapters put together. Instead of putting the three main points here, I put them in. The prologue is chapter 1, verse 1 to 6. That is basically the introduction to the book. Things start in verse number 7. Now, if you notice in your Bible, there's a paragraph marking at after verse number 7, that little backwards P kind of sign. It means a new paragraph begins there. So the first six verses are really the introduction to it, the prologue. Then begins the bulk of the book, and that is the monologue. The monologue. You know what the monologue is. That's what my dad always used to sit up and watch on Johnny Carson. All right, the news was on at 11, Carson came on at 11:30. His monologue would go about 10 or 15 minutes, and then Dad was off to bed because he had to work the next morning. The monologue is that conversational piece. I think the nighttime hosts, I don't watch any of them, but I think they still do that to this day. So here's Solomon's monologue from chapter 1, verse 7, all the way through the end of chapter 29, this middle section of the monologue. And it's broken down into three sections. The first one is wisdom's call. And again, if you were with us, if you've been with us in Sunday school, we've talked about this in great depth. The first nine chapters of Proverbs are all about wisdom. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. With all thy getting, get understanding. And it's wisdom's call. Wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. Chapter 1, verse 20. That's what all these first nine chapters are about. Wisdom's call. Then letter B is wisdom's contrasts. Wisdom's contrasts. And you see the word underneath the next line, the contrasting word. So contrasts. Chapters 10 to 15 are really kind of an amazing collection. Those six chapters right there. You see the line written under. The contrasting word but appears 143 times in this section. The word but, I didn't put it up in here, appears 246 times in all the book of Proverbs, which is far more than any other book in the Bible. But from chapters 10 to 15, it averages 24 times per chapter. And I know we just did Proverbs 10, so I hate to go back, but to give an example. A wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. Treasures of wickedness profit nothing, but righteousness delivereth from death. Chapters 10 to 15 are all about contrasts. And that word but in the middle of the verse happens in the majority, an average of 24 verses in every chapter. 143 times in that section are those contrasts. Then letter C is wisdom's counsels. Wisdom's counsels. Chapter 16 to 29. There's a lot more in those sections that time's sake and for, on my point, study's sake did not give us time. Some of the commentators somewhat pointed out the word that they believe they can tell which ones Solomon wrote himself and which ones he heard from somebody else and passed on. By the difference of him using thee and thou, or using me and mine. And I tried to run that trace. Tried to run that to see if I could find it. And I did find that in chapters 10 to 15, the words thee and thou and thy disappear. I mean, they're used a lot of times in the first nine chapters, then they pick up again in chapter 16, but those six chapters in the middle with the contrast, the word thy, and so some of them say that those were the ones written by Solomon, the other ones were the ones that he heard from somebody else and recorded, but again, that's a lot deeper study than we had time for. So we've got the monologue, wisdom's call, wisdom's contrast, and wisdom's counsels. Then finally, number three is the epilogue. That's the close. That's the ending of it. The epilogue. And that's chapters 30 and 31. The two chapters written by Agur and Lemuel, who again we believe are still Solomon under different names. But in chapter 30, Agur writes about the ideal life. The ideal life. And a lot of those very famous, the four things, the different creatures that are mentioned there. A lot of things in Proverbs chapter 30 about the ideal life. And then letter B. Who doesn't know what the blank is going to be? Chapter 31 of Proverbs, the ideal wife. All right, the ideal wife. That woman in Proverbs 31 that preachers preach out on Mother's Day. All right, that woman of Proverbs 31, the ideal wife. So the book of Proverbs, giving us an introduction into the books of Ecclesiastes and Song of Solomon. These three books placed together, written by Solomon. Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and Song of Solomon. That's the book of Proverbs. All right, Father, thank you for this wonderful book and the realities and truths of it. God, we could spend our whole life, every month, reading these Proverbs and benefit from it. Lord, help us to truly value your word, the statements that are there. Lord, knowing this, that if we guide our lives according to your word, we benefit from it. God, it doesn't do us any good to read the Proverbs of Solomon and say, well, I don't agree with that one, or I don't agree with this one, and then go our own way. There is a way that seemeth right to a man, Proverbs says, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Help us, Father, to be students of your word, to put it in practice in our life. Thank you for the book of Proverbs. In Jesus' name, amen. What page?